Dallas radio stations and a bunch of cable and TV stations join us at 6 after. We're going to call Serafin, the top FBI whistleblower of all time. And, man, I like Kyle, you know, interviewing the last few years, but he's batting 1,000 right now. It's actually pretty scary. And I don't have a hard-on for Cash Patel or Pam Bondi or any of these people. It's just that, as Steve Bannon said, if we don't start indicting these people, we are screwed, blued, and tattooed. So we'll go to him coming up here in just a few minutes. Then Rob Dew's hosting the War Room today, 3 to 6 p.m. Harrison is under the weather. He's been really, always done a great job. He's really getting more powerful, more intense. It's beautiful. But what an interview. I mean, Mike Adams, the talk show host part of him is like 10% of what he does. That guy is a computer scientist. He knows what he's talking about. And this is such an insane time to be alive. But let me do this because I've done like three 30-second plugs today. And I've had the accountants and the crew explain, Alex, when you plug 2 minutes an hour, because nobody watches the commercials, even though a lot of them are entertaining, everything's like on the show, like on TV or anywhere. It's like what you see during the show. If you just plug 2 minutes an hour, we wouldn't be in the red half the time. So I'm just going to say this. My broadcast is not hype. I don't come up here and say things for attention. I can do super entertaining shows that would be more palatable to the general public, but aren't as effective. Instead, you get super academic discussions because I think you're smart. And I think the message is the medium. I think the message creates the person. The globalists want to dumb it down to dumb people down. I want to gauge it up. And I think you're just like me. And I think in general, you are. A lot of you are smarter than me. So it's real simple. I can spend hours on ultramethylene blue. We have the best medical grade. Kennedy takes it, the head of HHS. We have the best medical grade made in Florida. It skips the oxidation process in the steps, two steps. It energizes the mitochondria. It supercharges the neurons. It detoxifies. And I'm mad at myself when I forget to take it. In fact, I haven't taken it yet today. So I've got some hibiscus tea here. I just realized today, like, I haven't taken this in 2 days. When I do take it every day, oh, my God, it just builds up. It does incredible things. So, and it was developed in Germany in 1875. They found that rats that took it lived twice as long. Yeah, it's super staining, so they use it as a clothing dye. That's the non-medical grade. It doesn't matter. It's like a dual use. Like, you use cherry juice as a dye, too. Or, you know, charcoal. But it doesn't mean that's not, you know, it's main use. Charcoal can detoxify the body as well. Nothing like this. All of you on the fence, just simply to say, does this show deserve to be supported? Does it do groundbreaking things? Does it need to be boosted? See as a donation. Go to theoliveshowstore.com. Order ultramethylene blue. It's 50% off right now. That sale ends Sunday evening. We got enough in to be able to do that sale. And get it. Now, if you're on SSRIs or anything else, you can't take it because it's strong, folks. You got to talk to your doctor first. Or check online with ChatGPT or whatever, Grok. Hey, I'm doing this. Because it's not a placebo. It's not a joke. All right? Because people jump off buildings if they're on SSRIs and take it because what it does. I mean, seriously, they go psychotic. It's like because it's that strong. So get yours now with the Irish sea moss. What's that do? 93 trace vitamins and minerals, the very best organic iodine. We have the strongest 40 grams equivalent per serving of the gummies, the pills. I mean, anything we sell blows you away. So just see it as like, okay, because 99% of you never buy the product. We appreciate you tuning in. Please share the articles and videos. But what I'm saying is go get ultramethylene blue. Take only a dropper at first. And within 30 minutes, 99%+ of people, it was like over 500 people, like three of them didn't have an effect, have instant energy, clarity, focus with no letdown. You are missing out if you don't take action now. Get your ultramethylene blue, the very best methylene blue you're going to get, theoliveshowstore.com, sale in Sunday, take action now, and I thank you for your support. But all you on the fence, you are missing out. What do you have to lose? Believe me, get it. You're going to love it. This is a major alert. I'm cutting this announcement on the evening of Tuesday, November 6, 2025. You only have until this Sunday, that's 3.5 days, to take part in the biggest sale ever at thealexshowstore.com. Store-wide, 25% off on top of all the sales, like 50% off on all the supplements like Ultra Methylene Blue and more. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it, they're on the site, and you fund this operation. Now, InfoWars is supposed to be shut down. They have a state receiver. Said it'd be next week or next month. It's very close. But regardless, we have the Alex Show's network, and we will continue on. And your support is funding that operation as well. So get great products and be the reason we always stay on the air at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP for $30 a month. Get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers as well. So many other deals. Take action now. That's thealexjonesstore.com. The coordinates of 1776 worldwide.
News today.
To know who's going full steam ahead with the wrecking ball at the White House?
President Trump bulldozed a third of the White House last week.
It's all being replaced by a massive ballroom.
He's ripping up the East Wing to build a grand gilded ballroom.
Construction workers yesterday began tearing down a portion of the East Wing of the White House to build President Trump's new ballroom. You guys, I don't think he's planning on leaving in 3 years.
The entire East Wing of the White House is now gone, irreparably.
I'm happy to announce Operation Big Balls.
Society, God's gift to ballroom notoriety. And I always fill my ballroom, the event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. I've got big balls, I've got big balls. They're such big balls, and they're dainty big balls.
Bulldozers are tearing up the facade of the White House's East Wing, clearing the way for President Donald Trump's new ballroom.
You hear that sound? Oh, that's music to my ears. I love that sound.
It's going to be bigger than the White House itself.
The demolition sparking outrage today.
And that is more destruction the White House has seen since the troops for the British crown burned it down the War of 1812. And Donald Trump is tearing down the White House.
It's all part of the president's new ballroom project.
Operation Big Beautiful Balls. That's what we're going to call it.
I don't remember asking for a ballroom.
Trump continues building his multi-$100 million ballroom.
And we're now at $350 million.
Barry tore up the White House and spent $400 million in taxpayer money during a recession. And what did he have to show for it? A basketball court.
And Trump's using donor money to build all of it.
Trump's spending less. $300 million on a big, beautiful ballroom, and you're not paying for it.
The government's paying absolutely nothing.
The ballroom is going to be glorious.
But I made the balls a little larger as a tribute to my manhood.
The biggest and most beautiful balls of them all. Oh,
we've got big balls!
No one elected big balls.
Big B-A-L-L-S, big balls here.
Personally, I voted for big balls. Elon Musk does. Now, I aired that because you tune in the corporate media. It's one of the top stories. Trump's lavish. He's rich. He's built. They tore down a little piece of the building to build this giant new thing because you think the U.S. executive branch would have a ballroom. Everybody else had them for hundreds of years. We don't. Turns out Trump and Obama's first administration trying to be nice to him said, I got a group of donors ready to build you a ballroom. They have the meetings in tents. But Obama's building looks like a North Korean death camp or something, $800 million, another $200 million to finish it. Why are we talking about that? It's the perfect distraction while we're in day 37, 38 of the shutdown and all this is happening. So Trump came out yesterday. Steve Bannon's been talking about it. I've talked about it. If we don't clean house at America's Praetorian Guard, at the DOJ and the FBI, we're done. And yeah, we got three indictments of Comey, Letitia James, and of course, the famous, you know, neocon war criminal John Bolton. And I know the inside baseball on this. They bring people in that say they'll do it. Grand juries indict. They sit on it. It is a mess. And then you've got Cash Patel, who's 180. And again, I don't have a hard on for Cash Patel. I want Cash Patel to be real, but I'm not going to lie to people. He runs for FBI director, saying, you know, Ray flies around to private events on a jet. And then he's even worse than that. Well, yeah, we'll play the clip coming up. But that's a side issue. But that's something the public can get. I get why Sarah focuses on it. What about, like we talked about last week that went viral, fighting with Tulsi Gabbard that we first broke in the 17th or 18th of September, a week after Kirk's killed. He says, we're not looking at any of the trannies that said he'll be dead tomorrow. Clearly, I got told. They're like, he'll be dead tomorrow. See, I told you. Oh, let's not even look at them. And we're not going to look at foreign involvement. I didn't say Israel killed him. The left said they were going to kill Kirk. They celebrated. I'm like, they're prime suspects. Got tranny for killing people at Catholic churches, Christian schools, everything. But now you've got this civil war going on, you know, with the Tucker Carlson Fuentes thing, and you've got Mark Levin and all of them. Oh, you, no matter what you do, we're taking you out. And you've got Josh Hammer saying, oh, we're going to take care of you like a fox in a hen house and neutralize you. And I'm not saying Israel did it, but like, this is like, if I wanted to be incriminated, this is what I would say. So we're so distracted with ballrooms and with, Tucker Carlson interviewed somebody he shouldn't have, while AI war goes into high gear, while Russia takes over Ukraine. Day 37, 38 of the shutdown, massive flights, you know, average flight 3 hours delayed, almost a weekend of SNAP benefit shutdown, consumer confidence plunging, food banks almost totally out of food, some completely out. The lights are all flashing red here. And you've got the Washington bureaucracy that just won't change and won't even give us a bone. They are their biggest threat. People say, well, just abolish the FBI, abolish all this. Okay, great if we could, whatever. The point is we can't even get to agencies reforming themselves because they're in their own bubble and all they do is defend themselves. They can't see the biggest threat. So Carl Serafin takes over right now. I mean, I'm going to be hosting with him, but I've been ranting here. Because he knew Cash Patel. Cash Patel, he gave him a lot of his talking points until the confirmation. That was on record. And then Cash Patel flips and targets, Senator Grassley exposed it and said he and his other whistleblowers, we know much, most of the stuff about Biden and what they did because of this guy and a few of the men. And then they flip on him and Grassley gets mad and tells him he flipped on you. Well, why'd he flip 180 in one day? Who is he compromised by is the question, because there's no doubt he's compromised now. And so we have to admit this to ourselves. We have to find out who the bad actors are. Now, they brought in the AG of Missouri to replace him. It's not for Bongino. So since he was on last week, huge interview. I mean, I saw it without even looking for it. FaceTime, TikTok, Instagram clips, 20 million, 10 million views. I mean, it went viral. I got a bunch of calls from Congress about the interview. I got a little extra death threats. Got some other little interesting things we're not going to talk about on air. But let's just say they did not like last week. So what did I do? When I get threatened last week, I start begging Saturday, Sunday, come back on. Because that's just how I am. I'm an asshole. It's fight or flight. When I get attacked, I don't run. I attack. It's who I am. And he's like, well, I got to get more info. I'll come on. So finally, I twisted his arm to come on. Because if I'm getting threatened to not have you on, we better do it. And he wanted to wait till you got ready with all this new info. So there's so much to cover in the 45 minutes we have. Kyle Serafin, Kyle Serafin on X. People can find you, KyleSerafinShow.com. Kyle, we definitely, TheKyleSerafinShow.com, Rumble.com/KyleSerafin. We have definitely struck a nerve last week. And you've done a lot of that. Like if you were, you know, you're like Red Adair. Every time you drill an oil well, it hits gold. So I'm told we got something big here. So if they're really after us now, let's just double down right now.
Okay, here's the worst part. First of all, nice shirt, Alex. It's nice that we could coordinate today. So that's fun. I was wearing this. You were already wearing this. I didn't even look.
No, we called each other because, you know, we were in the
we text pictures
last night, the swan boat.
That's right. Texting pictures back and forth from the bathroom mirror, all that kind of thing. So I am not able to say the thing. And I said it earlier on my podcast and I will tell you what it is, but I can't prove it just yet to you. But the proof actually exists.
Well, you've never been wrong yet. So just tell us what you think.
This is going to be the worst one, Alex. This one's going to be, there are literally years of me saying the thing that I said. And when we go and people are going to be able to pull the record and they'll know that this has been consistent.
So you're saying we're going to be in even deeper trouble now.
I just posted it on my X feed, and then I don't know how else to react to it.
Call Sarah's feed right now. You've got the floor, 12 minutes to break. I'm going to shut up. Tell us what's going on here.
This morning I said it on my podcast with about 85% certainty. I'm 99.9% certain that the FBI covered up what happened on January 6th. But it doesn't matter that you think that. The question is can you actually show that there's actually evidence? And I think we established the evidentiary trail. And it's really freaking damning. This whole scenario with my friend Steve Baker, who's been out there talking about it. He's given the breadcrumbs. A lot of people have properly identified the identity of the pipe bomber from their speculations. We've seen people that have nothing to do with it. They have no evidence whatsoever. They're just reading what my friend has done with 4+ years of really hard work and hundreds of hours of analysis of video. And he's put together a really, really conclusive case that indicates that the identity of the pipe bomber is now known to parts of the United States government and certainly to my friend Steve Baker over at The Blaze and a lot of people.
Yeah, so I was going to, I only learned about this last night. And Glenn Beck, by the way, when it comes to investigations, is the all-star. They know. And it's a high-ranking government official.
That's close to accurate. I think
high-level person.
Let's say high access. I don't think that high level is really the right term. So high level would mean somebody that has a senior position, and that's not the case in this case. However, access to power, authority, and in sort of the in the
and
room
we had
when
the
things
bomb
happen.
Being planted right where Kamala was coming to meet, so it's obviously play the victim. They're trying to blow up Kamala ahead of time to boost her for the run.
This is going to be I'm struggling for words, and you know that's not really my thing. I don't know how to say this without compromising what they're doing right now. But I can also tell you that I'm rattled because I've got a window open on the other side of one of my screens here.
Well, here's the thing. You sent me 15 minutes into the shooting in Minneapolis to the Catholic Center and the kids, the guy, the picture, the FBI sent it to you because they were where they were covered up. So we know you've got
My sourcing is very good. This is worse than that because this actually goes back for years. And I think that we're going to be able to establish the link that the Bureau from basically the first few minutes after, I don't think the FBI planned what happened on January 6th. I've been convinced of that since the time because I worked out of the Washington Field Office.
No, that's how they work. You know, they use NGOs, compartmentalized intelligence groups. The FBI is just given the script.
The FBI's job was always to go out and prosecute the people and run down and do the dutiful job of what I've been calling the good Germans or the good Americans. They said yes, they went out and prosecuted people, and they did so on evidence that was
so
sketchy.
Here's something I want people to think about. You said you had a lot. I didn't even know it was about this. I had this ready to ask you, but come on. It's about to break. They say, well here, let's do this. Here's Glenn Beck with a great investigative journalist that you were just talking about. Here it is.
I think it is the biggest scandal of my lifetime. There is a major development in the January 6th pipe bomber investigation. Blaze News has the exclusive. Its lead suspect is at the highest levels of government. And Steve joins me now. How long have you been working on this story?
I've been pulling the threads on this for exactly 4 years.
If anybody ever wondered why they made such a big deal out of arresting Steve, this is why.
I was so shocked by what I saw, I immediately took it to a source in one of the most important, highest level investigative federal agencies in the country. And I said, you have to see this. After they looked at it for about 2 hours, the response that I got back was, holy F, he's one of us.
And when you find out the position This now will implicate so many people at the highest levels. What's your confidence level in this story?
I can give you forensic estimates, the analysis of the hooded bomber on the evening of November 5th compared to the gate analysis of this individual in private life and at work. The actual software hit at a 94% accuracy. Then human analysis from the experts in intelligence is much higher. They've looked at it and went, my God, that's it. You got it.
In a world not gone mad, this would be a best-selling book and a major blockbuster movie. When it all comes out, this is going to involve everybody. I mean, this is really bad. Really, really bad. This apparently just has to be done right because of national security, I'm gathering. Is that right?
That's correct.
And so they've got to take care of things they've got to take care of. Then the story will be released.
You know, we always hear that. And I know that Saravan has impeccable sources as well, but the bad guys already know the story. So, okay, why not release it now? And then when are we going to learn this?
Well, that's a really good question. So as I understand it, the intel community is flipping and they are pushing aggressively. And there is some internal conflict related to this story because, Alex, you know this too. The way that our government plays, whatever group is in power, whatever sort of organization is in favor, they're going to either lean to the left or to the right. We're going to have Democrats or Republicans, and they go to friendly media and they lean on them and say, you will not share this story because if you do, then your access to us will go away. Now, the problem with that access-based journalism, where you're going to essentially be a mouthpiece for whatever your favorable people in. It is, but the real danger is all you're going to get then are stories about how the government thinks the government's doing a great job. And so you're not going to get the real story, which is what we used to actually think that our media's job was to do. They were supposed to go out there and hold account, and they were going to go push really aggressively on people. And when they did, that's when we used to award them journalistic prizes, and they would bring down institutions. The goal of journalists used to be, can I get the story that takes down somebody doing real corruption?
Yeah, you're supposed to keep the government honest.
And they don't. That's what we hope that they would do. But they've basically been looped in. And when we talk about a mockingbird media, what are we saying? We're saying that for access, we're going to give you the stories that we approve.
Sure. So I guess they're telling them national security, and that means the FBI.
That's what they're doing.
But I don't believe. Listen, at a certain point, justice be done. I'll tell you what I would do if I had this. I'd just fire missiles. I'm done. I'm done. I'm firing missiles.
There's two reasons why this isn't happening, I think. First of all, Baker is trying to protect sources, which I think is admirable, and I understand that need. And so that's the major, I think, equity that exists there. I'm with you. Dan the Torpedoes, full speed ahead. Steve Baker and I had a phone call after you and I agreed to do our this appearance. I got a phone call from him about 2 hours ago, and I've been on the phone ever since with Friendlies, making sure that they know the story, they know the information. I've sent a couple of files over to them.
Yeah, so do the sources not know how much danger they're in, how big this is? They got to get it out now.
I am afraid that they're going to off this person. And I don't say this lightly. Like, you ever see me come on and just do
before
like
this, but you and I are pretty smart. Like, explain this. Like, so your
instinct
is release.
I don't come on and do hype. I'm not a hype guy, and I'm not a tune in next week, and I'm going to give you the full story. If I got the story, I'll tell you. If I don't have the story, I'll tell you. I've got the story that Alexis Wilkin, the girlfriend of the FBI director, has two FBI agents, and they're trying to do an international tour. So I'll tell you that. Like, my friends hit me up, and they tell me stuff. These are transactional things I find out about the Bureau. This is a long-term government plot, multiple agencies. We've all sort of instinctively thought that. Everybody said it was a cover-up, and it was a put-up job. If you don't have facts, you have speculation, and nobody cares. The fact of the matter is that Steve Baker ran these things to ground, and he
bottom line, the House of Cards is coming down.
Listen, the last piece of one of these things that has no logical purpose whatsoever just linked things that I've known for years, and he found out today. And when you put those things together, I think the implication is that the FBI has been complicit in a cover-up of January 6th since the beginning. The people that work there now are just as suspect as those that were there before. If you are in leadership, including the director, either way, you are unfit for that office.
And they were planning something much bigger. If they could have provocateur people with zip ties to go in there, they were planning something way worse. While the script was worse than Pearl Harbor, they were planning a bloodbath. Thank God it basically fizzled and dudded.
This is what I think. I've talked to Steve Baker about this on long form, and he's very long winded to get to the point. But I think very directly, his belief is they were trying to get people riled up. He called it the rope-a-dope, where they set up a perimeter. There was a fight and a clash with Capitol Police. They pulled back from that perimeter. They incited more aggression by pulling back and giving them space. So they came and tired themselves out another barrier. And while they were doing that, they were whipping people into a frenzy with what are called less than lethal rounds, but they were using them in a way that would incite outrage and danger. And you saw people getting shot in the face. I think his name was Jacob Black. I can't remember his name exactly, but
well, one of the guys got shot in the face. Because back then I had a lot more money and I still got to get him. I wanted. I had guys that were former Delta Force, like the guys that captured Saddam, like the cream of the cream. And I didn't even want to do an advance deal. They go, we're going to do an advance deal. It took us hours to get to the ellipse, to the crowd, and the phones weren't working hardly any. But my other crew got calls, and they go, here's the text. They're like, they're planning a setup down here. They're planning to take the Capitol. We're seeing major evidence of intel down here. This is a setup. And then it stops. Then I'm let out halfway through Trump's speech, and finally a call gets through. They go, get down here quick. What we said's happening. So, and people that don't know, the Delta Forces stuff does regime change. They know what they're seeing. So we had these guys in there. They immediately saw this that morning before Trump even spoke. They're saying, you got to abort. You got to abort. So my point was, they saw the setup. Those are guys that do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, operators who've worked overseas in color revolution type work for the agency, the CIA, or for other, you know, more overt type options. Yeah, they know what this stuff looks like. But my guess is, and Baker has been telling me this for a long time now, he and I have been talking for at least 3 years about this. I believe that they were trying to incite an incident where somebody used a weapon and killed a staffer, killed a member of Congress or the Senate.
They were provocateuring his agents and provocateurs to get them to kidnap people. That was the plan.
And but for the grace of God, this country would have basically experienced martial law, I think, broad spectrum. If you guys recall the attitude and the outrage of this event, which was essentially a multi-hour riot that happened not long before then, they drove Donald Trump into the bunker like not 6 months earlier. And I was outside the bunker the next day. So this seemed like a setup. Everybody's always said it. The question is who did it? And everyone always said, well, it was a Fed's erection. It was the FBI. And they put it up and then they went out there and knocked the bowling pins down. I've never believed that. It's never made sense. And I'm fairly confident right now we're going to find out that this came out of Congress, that these were either a congressional plan, that there's a congressional agency involved in it,
all
that
right,
there's probably one intelligence
today
component.
I texted you last night on other subjects. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's Mike Pelosi, her daughter, Democrats, Capitol Police, subgroups planning the bomb.
Yeah, the question has always been, can you prove it? Because everyone's speculated based on the things they've said and the way they've operated and who would have had who would have gained from it. The question is can it be proved? And I think that's exactly what is about to be dropped out there. Baker has essentially found the chink in the armor.
So
once you find somebody who's actually done it.
I don't know yet. Give us a hint. You just said Congress, so it's Pelosi.
Well, I don't know that it's Pelosi either yet. That's the other thing. And it could be someone that's even more it could be more diabolical than that. But let's be honest about what goes on. The people that were involved in the outside, the riot
what
control.
What are you saying?
The Capitol
high
Police
level
officers.
Government.
The people who were involved in the in maintaining that riot control were the United States Capitol Police. And they answered to two people.
Yeah, and
they answered to the Speaker of the House and the House and the Senate majority.
How would a right-wing terrorist know unannounced where Kamala Harris is going to be in an office building? I mean,
There's no answer. There's no answer. You got the bumper music. I'm telling you, this is going to get really, really ugly, Alex.
Yeah, I think so. Stay there. We'll be right back. When does this break? So I want to know. I'm cutting this emergency announcement on the evening of Thursday, November 6, 2025. Ladies and gentlemen, just type InfoWars or Alex Jones in the search engine. You'll read all about the federal courts, the state courts, the receiver that's been appointed to come in and shut us down. He was here today. He said it might be next week. It might be in early December. They haven't decided when to shut us down. But we've set up the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live on X, Bill Alex Jones, Rumble. We have the new studios, new news sites we're going to be announcing and launching. The InfoWar lives on through you and I and the crew and everybody else. But right now, we need funds to keep InfoWars on the air just for the foreseeable future and for the new network, because the bad guys can't get the AlexJonesTour.com because Bigley established for many, many, many years, dozens and dozens of major clients. They build the best quality shopping carts with the very best products, and they are our sponsor. So when you go to the alexshowstore.com, there is a huge sale that is only running until Sunday at midnight. So you got like 3 days, 3.5 days. Any supplement you get, ultramethylene blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, procardiovascular, ultimate life force. We have it all. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research it for yourself. We have the best at thealexshowstore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip, cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. You can buy it once, cancel if you want, but get it first because you have a month to cancel. I know you're going to love it, and then keep it on AutoShip. But bottom line, you get 50% off. Also, if you're a VIP, $30 a month, just like Amazon Prime, you get $40 to spend instantly in the store. Special deals, special sales, special offers just to you. And massive percentages off on everything. So if you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. But right now at thealexshowstore.com, on top of that, this is what ends Sunday, 25% off on top of all those sales. That makes many of these loss leaders. And then there's all the widest selection of Patriot apparel, t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, you name it. Wearing Patriot gear out in the public is an incredible adventure. It's like being Donald Trump or Alex Jones or Steve Bannon. Go out and do it. Experience it for yourself and know your funding's operation. You have kept us on the air despite all the attacks and Arctic frost that's come out. We're all under attack because the bad guys hate us. But despite all those attacks, we're still here. And InfoWars lives on through the Alex Jones Network and through all of you. So take action right now. The sale goes until Sunday evening at midnight, Central Standard Time. Probably the biggest sale in the history of Bigley, thealexshowstore.com. Have to check out the sales of the other big ones, but 50% off on all the supplements and 25% off on top of it. Oh, and it gets more insane. Anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. It's the same shopping cart on your phone or the app on your computer. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Bigley to do this. They were a little skeptical. They like to give you good deals, but not this good, because it's loss leader when you use the app, when we have the sales card. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like ultramethylene blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information's hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore right now. The sale ends Sunday, thealexshowstore.com. Thanks for being the reason we'll always stay on the air. You are the InfoWar. I'm the InfoWar. We're a family, 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
They call me a drifter, they say I'm no good, I'll never amount to a thing. Well, I may be a drifter and it may be no good, there's joy in this song that I sing. Saddle tramp, saddle tramp, I'm as free as the breeze and I ride where I please. Saddle tramp, saddle tramp, at night I will rest.
All right, so I had like five subjects and big stories with Kyle Seraphim that I was working on. So I had that ready, and I was going to bring up the Glenn Beck thing. And when Beck says he's got it with this great investigator. And I'd already been told this 3-4 years ago by investigators, and then with the new DOJ people, oh, the pipe bomb, oh, my God. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it because it's already out. We're not blowing the investigation. They wanted to flush him out. It is a Capitol Police officer is the prime suspect, tracked back by the cameras and everything. And let's just say they're looking for him, her, right now. So we know the enemy already knows a lot of this. So the point is, I'm not giving out anything that's going to hurt the investigation. But then I was talking to Kyle during the break. Sure enough, we got an FBI cover-up because this will bring the whole system down. We knew, and I always said this, not just Kyle said it, no, there weren't FBI agents breaking through the windows. It was Antifa. It was intelligence agency people. It was cutouts. It was volunteers. It was NGOs. But the FBI was there to then push the narrative and go after the people. But this is so seismic. And again, Kamala Harris was at this office park. Whatever was supposed to happen, even FBI just blew the whistle and said, that pipe bomb is the dummy bomb we train on. We knew that 4 years ago. So there was some bigger plan. We don't know what it was. Probably, you know, claim MAGA tried to bomb Kamala Harris or detonate something and say it. We don't know. But we know, the cops know, they're walking by this bomb like it's no big deal. They got kids across the street right there. When cops have a real bomb, they pull back two blocks. They're walking right by. They're picking it up like, you know. So they all knew they need to be subpoenaed. They need to be drug in. And the whole house of cards could fall on something like this. Kyle, this is so seismic. And I know you don't want to compromise the investigation, but the enemy already knows a lot of this.
Yep.
They're running scared right now. And I said this to you. I said, are you worried they're going to kill her, the female Capitol Police officer that's the prime suspect? And you said, absolutely. Sure. That was the next point you were going to make.
So yeah, I've gotten three texts from my friends who are former intel professionals. And they're like, is that person going to be alive on Monday? And I said, I don't know. And that will be.
And you can look at
itself,
the frame. This is a woman.
A lot of people have speculated on this for a long time, Alex. People have seen it. But of course, the footage was deliberately degraded by the FBI. This is something that
Blaze has reported out.
On. Definitely cut out. And then more importantly, like, there is missing footage for about 17 hours that would clear up a lot of the questions that people had. And instead, we get this snippets and disjointed garbage. The fact of the matter is Baker and the sort of wild researcher that he works with, somebody on X called Armitas, who I follow as well, has a very small footprint, but is incredibly good at just locked in on this stuff. You know, here's the story that I've been
say that researcher again. We want to give them credit. People, I'm going to put that on screen.
Yeah, it's Armitas is what is his goes by, but his handle is actually like Asabat. I'll send it over to you guys in a second here. I'll type it up and pull it up because he has one name and the other one is the actual handle. But let's be like really clear. The fake inert nature of the pipe bomb itself and the pipe bombs. I said that the first time that I've ever spoken about it. Whenever this is going back years ago. I've been doing this out loud now for about 3 years and change. I first did my public interview in September of 22. So you can basically do 3 years and a couple. Like whenever I first started talking about the pipe bombs, the understanding that I had from a couple of days after January 6th was looked very bomb-like, but inert. That's what I was briefed when we were doing a follow-up of a person that was of interest to the FBI. So my team was doing surveillance. And the reason I asked was like, hey, is this a real bomb? Because I wanted to know how close can my team get to this person if we're holding surveillance? Are we looking at somebody who might blow themselves up or blow the place up? What's our security posture need to be? What's our perimeter distance that we want to hold? And so you want to know those things. And so I asked, and they were very open about it. They were like, yeah, look very bomb-like, inert devices. They didn't use the word training devices, but that's probably what we assume they were. And then I was just talking to a buddy of mine who I've known since I was in the FBI Academy. And he and I were talking. He goes, yeah, you called me at the time. And we talked about it. And he had a friend at FBI headquarters that was high up in the bomb unit, what they call the Special Agent Bomb Technician or SABT program. There's also another piece of it called RenderSafe. And he was like, yeah, everybody was like really open about it. Nobody claimed that it was a real bomb. And then you go back to the congressional testimony and Steve D'Antuono, who people will remember was the special agent in charge of the Detroit field office. When the Whitmer nonsense went on, he was the assistant director in charge of the Washington field office on January 6th.
So these Steve D'Antuono's name. This is a false flag specialist.
I don't know what his deal is. I don't know if he's just a useful idiot or if he was deliberately involved in being, part of this. What he did, though, is very unusual, Alex, and I'll let you decide what you think about it. He was interviewed by Thomas Massie under oath for the Weaponization Committee in the discussion about January 6th, and my name was brought up spontaneously. He didn't need to mention Kyle Serafin, but he did. And he said, I don't know what Kyle Serafin knows about explosive devices or whatever, but like I'm told by the people down at Quantico that it was a viable device.
So it shows you're living rent free in his head. He's telling you.
Yeah. Why would you bring up what Kyle Serafin says about explosives? Now, by the way, I'm not an explosives expert, but I've put over 100 hours on the job training in the military with explosives. And I've done conventional and I've done, you know, improvised explosives. I've done electric and non-electric demo. I've played with detcord and C4 and dynamite and everything else. And we put together gunpowder charges.
Regardless, the bomb experts came out at the time and said that's a training device.
It's not like I don't know what I'm talking about when I look at a bomb. I have the training manuals from when I was in the Air Force.
But regardless,
still sitting around my house.
We now have it about when does it break? I get they're flushing them out right now, and
we're literally hearing that there may be a warrant being served right now. For all I know, and I don't know the answer to when this story can come out because there are multiple equities involved, including people basically fighting for credit of this. You can imagine this, and let's just debunk it right up front. The FBI director right now is in China. He's on the ground in Beijing or thereabouts. So
let's get to Cash Patel in a moment. I'm not trying to interrupt you, but
what I want to tell you is the FBI director is not in town. The deputy director has made nothing about this and recently retweeted a BS video saying there's a $500,000 reward and the FBI is looking for this person. All of those are proof positive to me that the FBI has been trying to cover this thing up and they're not actively doing
it. So let's go there. You're saying Bongino is currently trying to cover up.
They're all part of this. And so, like I said, they're either incompetent to a point that is basically criminal, or they are involved in the malfeasance that's been going on. And
well, you know, the first thing when Bongino and Patel came in, deep state looks at anything they've got. You cheating on your wife, whatever. Clearly, they both act compromised.
I agree that they act compromised. I don't have evidence that that's the case. What I do is I look at people and I see their behavior and their words. And what I heard was that Dan Bongino was going to solve three cases. We heard about it right up front. He went out on Fox and said there are three cases of critical importance. One of them is the Dobbs decision leaker, which I'm not even sure is a crime, but whatever. He said he was going to solve that. The other was the White House in the White House cocaine.
Who cares?
And they were going to solve that. That's also not been solved. It's also like the Secret Service purview.
Well, it's a dead end. It's a perfect distraction.
The J6 pipe bomb. Bongino went out on countless versions of his podcast and said, I have a bulletproof source inside the FBI that knows the answer to this and knows what's going on and is going to be able to crack this. And we're going to get to short order. They've been doing this for now 9 months.
So do you think they're using knowledge of the Capitol Police running the pipe bombing hoax as leverage?
I don't think, though. I think there's got to be other leverage. I mean, look, Cash Patel is in bad shape. The guy he lied for his confirmation. That's very obvious.
I want to get to that. I want to get to that, but separately then. So,
yeah,
what I'm hearing not from you is the time frame is very quick on this. The system's panicked. When do you expect this to break?
I mean, I hope they break it immediately. I hope they break it this afternoon and just decide, you know, let's go guns blazing because the story needs to come out. More importantly, thousands of lives were destroyed because of this. Remember that they used terrorism enhancements on January 6th with no evidence of terrorism. And as far as I can tell,
they arrested thousands that went through velvet ropes. We feel sorry for them. Right. They're great. But this will bring down the whole system, and January 6th is an inside job. This will just.
It has to. Yeah, no, it has to. And like I said, multiple government agencies involved. So we're going to find out one thing. And this is actually the only thing we're going to find out, Alex, because I don't know the answer to this. We're going to find out what kind of country we are. I think we're going to find out, let's call it in the next 96 hours, we're going to decide where Americans are going to be able to see whether we're a country that says you cannot execute like an Operation Valkyrie against our government and our people and Americans who want to protest. And maybe some people had a riot and they should have probably, you know, gone to jail for property damage for a couple of months or got community service. We're either that kind of country where we're going to destroy the agencies that did this, or we're going to be the kind of agencies that say it was really isolated. It was one person. That person happened to just overdose on pills this weekend. And then that's it. No more curiosity. No more questions.
But we have the cover up. So we know it's not a lone woman. So that's my question.
We know it's not.
Yeah. They're not going to be able to cover this up. So if they try to spin
it, happen.
Yeah,
and
what is the aftermath of
this? People can go back and look at my historical comments.
What is the aftermath?
People can look at my historical comments. I've been saying the same thing about what I said, and I'm going to tell you that the things that I said that we always were like, well, maybe the FBI just got it wrong on that day. And what I'm telling you is that today I found out, I got a phone call, we discussed it. I didn't get it wrong, interestingly enough. I've said the same thing for literally years. I've well documented.
Yeah, the FBI wasn't running it, but now covering up is an accessory.
And they started it almost immediately. And that stuff is going to be very apparent. And I've been reaching out to colleagues and former colleagues, people who've left the Bureau, to make sure that they're on board with what we saw and what we do. Because This is they can't run away from this as an agency. And again,
well, I want moving on from the FBI, though, the Democrats in general and the Capitol Police that we know are the ones
doing
the
fake arrests. Alex, what we're talking about here is a whole of government that closed ranks and numerous agencies that are not necessarily intertwined or related, but apparently must share either ideology or goal or action plan. And so, like, I'm kind of rattled by this because I don't know the answer to it.
Oh, I am too,
because
they have no way to spin this. When it turns out the Capitol Police staged the pipe bomb, which we heard that 4 years ago.
Sure, that's
they are not getting out of this.
Individual parts are not wild. None of the individual parts of this are incredibly damning or wild or unbelievable, or you'd go, oh, no one's ever said that before. The question is, can you actually prove it? And do you have a path to prove it? Is there a clear evidentiary chain? If you say it was a setup, okay, well, who did it? Well, we don't know. Fine. Then you can't do a start. If you say, well, it was a member of Congress,
but now the proof's coming out.
Now we're honed in. Now there are people, and Steve Baker, and I'm going to keep saying his name because the man should get a Pulitzer Prize for the work that he did. He spent hundreds and hundreds of hours doing things that nobody wanted to do. And here's the best part of it. He did it without subpoena power. He did it without access to government records or the ability to do a search warrant or to pull any of the stuff.
No, he's a hero. And they tried to destroy him. So, but look, here's the obvious thing we already said.
They arrested him. They put him in cuffs and they walked him out. I mean, this is the craziest part.
Tell that story, but let's just start over. Tell that story. Listen to understand how big this is. I haven't followed it. The obvious thing is they're going to kill this lady. I mean, I already said it, but the next move is she's dead.
That's the most obvious path, and that would be really, really telling. And I really don't want that to happen. So lest anyone think that you and I are sitting here celebrating that, like, we're just looking at the pragmatic approach. Steve Baker is such an interesting character for this reason and this reason alone. He was on with Brianna Morello the other day on your program or on your network. The fact of the matter is the man was a journalist on January 6th. He walked through the Capitol and he participated in documenting the events that day. He was then charged eventually by the FBI. First, they solicited him for some really aggressive charges. They ended up walking him back to misdemeanors, and he pled guilty on the hope that Donald Trump would come in and do a pardon. And he was pardoned. But before all of that, they arrested the man. They put him in cuffs. They walked him out of the Dallas field office. They put him in the back of a car. They drove him to the federal courthouse there. They put him in a cell with a couple of meth heads who were in for dealing methamphetamines.
Well, let's be clear. They did it because he was investigating this.
100%. And there is more stuff that is not my story to tell yet, but people are going to understand that the FBI identified the danger that man represented to them. And I'm going to just go out, and I don't do much like on the self-promotion end, but I think that they actually realized that the fact that he and I were connected is really problematic for them.
Oh, no kidding. They attack you everywhere, but you're always like,
Alex, I have my former supervisor who was my boss for 18 months, who writes a hit piece on me over at Town Hall every 4 to 5 weeks. And it is the other day he went out and posted that I am likely an asset for the SVR or for the MSS. So apparently I work for the Russians or the China actually stands. I don't care if they destroy the whole thing and burn it to the ground. If it is complicit in this, it should all come down.
Well, here's the American government stands. The literal targeting of Catholics and the pedophiles in the schools and everything. Here's the good news. I'm not mad at you, but you spend too much time even defending yourself. Everybody knows they're full of crap.
It's so wild to see the reaction of the machine, and you wonder, you're like, why? What I'm saying is not that insane unless it touches.
Well, if they were smart, they should reform now. I mean, it's like people want it. We want to have a.
They blew it.
We want to have a comeback story. We want this, but they just won't do it. So going back to this, for those that just tuned in. We got to hit the other subjects of Cash Patel, the rest of it here, closing.
Sure. Yeah.
But I've known this for a long time, but now we know. I was told years ago, Capitol Police, a woman, now they've got it. They tracked it. They've got it. Reporters, they've already search warrants. I don't see how they spend this. I mean, this is going to be, I don't know how they sit on this. That's why I want to just get it out.
Right. They are going to, this is why it's so wild and volatile right now, because how do you spin something that is basically 4 years and somebody has gotten the jump on you for half a decade? They've been working the story. They've nailed down all of the pieces of the tarp that you would normally try to wrap this thing up with. So how do you go and squirt your way out of that? And the only way is if the people who knew things were not able to connect with each other and put all the dots together and say, not only do I have the dots, like, here's the pieces of the puzzle and we see the entire picture, right? We're we have the entirety of, I don't know, the inside or the outside. We either frame, we've probably done the inside of the puzzle. If you've ever done a puzzle where it's like, you know, I do it with my kids all the time now. If you'd have the entirety of the internal of the picture, all we're looking for is who's the rim. What are the straight pieces on the edges?
Yeah, the edges are the easiest part.
They're going to be the easiest parts because the guts of it are all there. So now we just have to say, well, only blue can go up here. So we need a blue up in the left-hand corner where the sky is. And only green goes down here because there's grass. And only brown goes over here because it's dirt and road. We're only going to be finding the easiest parts of it. I don't know how you cover it up, but there is a strong desperation right now that people are losing their ever-loving minds. My buddy hasn't slept in a week. And he's been calling me, like he calls me at all hours of the night at this point, which is really amusing for me because I've got a 60-something-year-old, you know, investigative reporter calling me from the East Coast who hasn't slept in a couple of days, telling me new crazy things, and we're able to connect more dots. And this morning, I think we connected maybe the most damning one, at least for the FBI, because that's my role. My role is
always
been.
How were they able to discover her? Tracking the cameras back to the house or how?
So they're doing gait analysis. And he's basically looked through, I'm guessing here. So I don't actually know that this is what he's done, but I'm pretty confident because I just know what you would do logically. I think what Steve has been able to do is take gait analysis of every Capitol Police person who was on duty on January 6th and every congressional staffer.
Explain what gait analysis means.
Yeah, gait analysis, G-A-I-T. It's a biometric that has very, very high consistency with high probability of assessing correct accuracy. You got a fingerprint, that's biometric. You got a retina scan, that's biometric. You got DNA, it's biometric, right? Gait analysis is the way that you walk combined with your frame and your size and the way that your body moves.
Yeah, for decades, it's been like
parts.
99% of good software. So it's how you walk.
It's in the high 90s of capabilities. I think
it's the lines of your body. It's your, you know, it's like when I saw the one little shot of the people that robbed the Louvre for Napoleon's jewels. I said, those are North Africans, probably Algerians. Because I looked at who's the main robbers, who's the main crime, Algerians. You know, North Africans have that kind of skinny look. It was North Africans. I don't need AI to do that, but AI knows how to do it even better.
It does it faster through larger groups of data, and then the human analysis tends to be a little bit more accurate when it comes to fine-tuning when you have a little bit of additional context, right? So, you know, gait analysis, very simply, it's how does your human form move through time and space and does it look the same? And the fact of the matter is we all pattern ourselves. We've got a foot that's a little bit longer than the other one.
I've got an Achilles that's gone. I limp. Everybody knows I walk like a gorilla.
So it's very conclusive. It's an established form of biometrics, and it's used for things just like this, where you have the face or the rest of the sort of other things you do for identifying characteristics masked. And so Steve Baker did the gait analysis to find out who this person was, tracked it back. Then you start figuring out, okay, where has this person been and where have they done? And once you have a place to start, which is what he did, then he spent all of the time. The story isn't who gets the name
first. Well,
I'll say
first, it. Which, it's, by the a, way, it's a black woman.
It's not.
Not really. I didn't actually talk. I was just saying, not really. Well, who is it?
I could have stopped you. But here's the thing. You'll see why you thought what you did when the answer all comes out. The fact of the matter is the first person to jump on the name or thinks they're breaking the story that they didn't actually do any of the work on Twitter, like, shame on them. I've seen Ivan Raiklin go out there and claim, like, that's my scalp. It's like, dude, F you. You didn't do the work on this. This was literally hundreds of hours, probably thousands by the time you put the team together on it. They did all this stuff, and I'm not saying it because it's not my story. If I could come on here and break a story for you, I would, Alex, but it's not mine and it's not done yet. And we are probably in what is like I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm waiting for a phone call. In fact, Baker actually called while I'm sitting here talking to you. And so this is ongoing and this is an active work of collaboration between journalists who scooped the government and all the billions and billions of dollars of resources. The FBI alone is an $11 billion asset. When you start figuring out what Capitol Police have, they've got tens of billions of dollars as well. The number of dollars that could have been thrown at this problem and were not. And allow people to just consider
this.
Well,
let me give you the initials. Is it SK?
Yes. Yeah, of course. But let's just leave it off for now. Just let it go. People have already assessed this correctly, but it doesn't mean that that's the story. What you've done is you've basically, you skip to the end of the movie, but you don't know how they got to the movie. And the story
is
the only
thing
that actually
is gonna
matter.
You read the last chapter.
It's irrelevant. Yeah, it doesn't make a difference because that's not going to tell you where the problem is. It's just going to tell you a person that was
in it. So what I saw that day, it was a long story.
Pelosi
was quarterbacking it.
Imagine if I just told you that.
Is that
why
Pelosi just resigned? Is that why Pelosi's leaving?
It's a hell of a question. And there's certainly an interesting, they said that they were going to announce it. She said she wasn't going to run again.
Well, I'll just say it. So it's a white woman, mm-hmm. and she is extremely skinny. That's why I said North African. But, So that's right.
I mean, it'd be the equivalent of me just yelling out like, oh, like if Kennedy gets shot and we just said, it's Lee Harvey Oswald. And you're like, well, what? That doesn't tell me what happened. You know, like, well, how did that happen? And of course, like, maybe there's more to it. So the fact that
you put her up. So let me ask you this in closing.
Yes. That's the question.
She plants the bomb.
Yes.
The fake bomb right where Kamala's going to be in an hour. The cops show up. No, it's not a bomb. They don't act like it's a bomb. They're not worried when kids go by it. They're picking it up, not scared of it, which no cop trained with bombs does. So
Alex, it's even weirder than that.
What was the larger plan then, do you think? That's speculation.
So the crazier thing is that the original bombs were not actually dropped in those locations. Both bombs were discovered in probably either secondary or they were discovered in like an audible type location that nobody was expecting. So the initial bomb drops, one of them was outside the Congressional Black Caucus. And it was put there, and apparently there were some pieces that fell off, and it made it even less operable than it was previously and looked even less convincing. And then it ended up over at the DNC, as I understand. So the bombs were actually moved, and the footage of them being moved.
First we were going to bomb the black people. Oh, perfect.
Right? So the story is going to be why there, how did you choose your secondary targets? Who picked up the phone and called you and told you where to put them when you realized that like it wasn't seen? There's a lot more to this that is going to be what was the original plan? What was the follow-on plan? What was the contingency is what you might say if something didn't go right, if you got caught?
Who's sweating bullets right now?
I think there are parts of the intelligence community that have to be sweating bullets. There have to be people that are actively inside the current FBI. And then on top of all of that, you've obviously got the Capitol Police, which I did a whole episode on the other day, talking about them being a Praetorian Guard. If you know about the Praetorian Guard, you mentioned it earlier, they were known... initially, they were a protective force and they were used for the Roman emperors, but eventually they had to be disbanded because they were basically a blackmail and extortion operation against the people they were supposed to be protecting. And our current Capitol Police has the ability to do that. They're around these congressmen all the time. They're able to see what they do. They know who's done what and who's done who and so on and so forth.
So it's a perfect deep state plug-in.
And they get away with all kinds of wild stuff to include people like,
we're out of time.
Why was Lieutenant Byrd there
in the first place? I'm doing a special Saturday show tomorrow with... Russell Brandt at noon. If you can pop in with new developments, we'd love to have you on like 1 o'clock. But just in closing, 1 minute left, Carl Serafin, thecarlserafinshow.com. Cash Patel, boy, he's in a lot of trouble.
He has to be. Yeah, and he's in China right now. He flew on the jet that he blocked access to, and he flew off to China, touched down in Japan initially, then went to Korea, was there for a night or two, and now he got dropped off this morning, which was the afternoon there for them, I think, in Beijing. So, our FBI director's not here worrying about this thing. And this really is, this is the tower, the house of cards that you talked about. And if they could pull this and why he's not here for it, it's because he didn't know, because they didn't expect this to ever come out. I don't think they ever thought that we would be able to, that somebody would do it. And it took an independent journalist who works for the government, it turns out. So ain't that a shame. But the truth is going to make its way out. It's going to be ugly.
I know you got even bigger news. So much the new Epstein stuff coming out. Maureen Comey using blackmail, according to witnesses, and telling Epstein he didn't let him go. Carl Serafin, thecarlserafinshow.com. Thank you so much. Let the producers know if you come on at 1 p.m. tomorrow, 1:30. So you've got more to say. Thank you so much. The War Room coming up. Stay with us.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
forged in the fires of liberty. The Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones